we have Ted Pike, the National Prayer Network, truthtellers.org. We're going to talk about possibly the end of free speech if these buggers get their way. They're trying to pass the hate crime bill again. And only this time around, folks, it's more primed because we got a bunch of Democrats up there that, well, sticks and stones may break their bones, but that's right, words won't even hurt them. They're criminals, folks. We'll be right back with the Reverend right after this.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stachmiller.
The Reverend writes, unless we resist now, the thought crimes bureaucracy like those regulating Australia, Canada, and Europe will soon rule America. In these nations, federal hate crime laws have destroyed citizens' right to free speech. The Anti-Defamation League may reintroduce the federal hate laws, the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act, in Congress as early as this week. Well, today's Friday. Hopefully they didn't get around to it today. Punishment of politically incorrect bias is the ultimate goal of this legislation. Democrats support hate crime laws or hate laws, and their control of Congress means almost certain passage, unless enough Americans protest and back ADL down from even submitting the bill. Now, a national hate law would shatter Americans' First Amendment rights. We are sadly unique among Western democracies. We should lose our precious freedom to express politically incorrect ideas, moral judgment, or whatever personal convictions the reigning thought police deem hateful. You think this can't happen in America? You better think again. Hostile work environment law and campus speech bans have already severely curtailed free expression in American workplaces and universities. A U.S. federal hate law would follow the examples of Europe, Canada, Australia, where Christian pastors have been indicted, mind you, simply for quoting politically incorrect scripture in their sermons. Iceland's Orwellian hate law, for example, promises 2 years jail if you verbally insult a person on the basis of their nationality, skin color, race, religion, or sexual orientation. If a federal hate law were passed, free expression across the political spectrum would be threatened. What would happen to blasphemous art like, folks, I'm sorry for this, but you need to know what is being said here. For instance, on South Park, the cable and satellite show, they ran a show called Piss Christ to Ann Coulter or Al Franken, to Christians protesting sodomy of homosexuals attacking the Bible. Every American, from left-leaning feminists to red state Republicans, should protest the anti-hate legislation. If Rosie O'Donnell were an Icelander, she could have been prosecuted for verbal assault for a recent statement that radical Christianity is as dangerous as radical Islam. Political activists in nations with hate laws have already been indicted for criticizing Islam, Zionism, and homosexuality. Hate laws threaten your freedom to speak your mind, no matter what's on it, meaning your mind. Here are some of the most powerful bipartisan reasons to fight this legislation. Speech bans are it's a political weapon used by those in power to silence their opponents and politically unpopular minorities. Hate laws empower the government to enforce the orthodoxy of whomever happens to be in charge. The government can define which biases or hatreds are unacceptable and which are okay. For instance, hate laws in our politically correct age allows women to denigrate men, but would silence men from legitimate, though possibly hurtful, speech like a discussion of biological gender differences. In 2004, Swedish feminist Joanna Reitel wrote a hate-filled screed published in a major daily. Her article describes white men as arrogant, sex-obsessed, and exploitive, explaining that Reitel just wants to puke on them. Now, Stockholm authorities refused to indict Reitel under their hate law, saying it was passed to protect ethnic minorities, not white Swedes. Now, this is just one example of speech bans, the uneven enforcement, and how they are used to punish certain kinds of hate and allow others. I've got the Reverend on line. Ted Pike, good afternoon, sir.
Yes, John. Thanks for having me on. Sorry I got confused and was calling you.
Oh, no, that's fine. You're here, and that's what's important. And I'd like to thank you for rescheduling from Tuesday to today. This is important. I take it, this being Friday, that in our brand new Congress up there, that this did not come on the House floor.
I'm not sure of anything. I think probably we won't know till the beginning of next week. There's usually a 24-hour delay in getting the data there to the people at the Capitol hotline.
All right. This bill, do we have a number on this bill, by the way, Ted?
No, we don't. We have to make it clear that the bill has not been introduced. This bill, the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act, has been decisively defeated three times in the last 2 years, but that was in the 109th Congress. We have a brand new Congress now, so the ADL, which is behind this bill, that's the Anti-Defamation League, they're going to have to reintroduce it into committee in both the House and the Senate. That's going to take a little while, but on the other hand, as you were mentioning, John, we have a Congress now which is loaded with a Democratic majority, and it could go very rapidly through committees. And so what we're doing at the National Prayer Network is being preemptive. This is kind of political guerrilla warfare. We're striking first before our enemy knows the battle is joined. And so we've been alerting many, many thousands of Christian conservative patriots who are now working with us closely to just literally inundate Congress and especially congressional aides with our flyers and calls and so on. We're hoping that we can back the ADL down right now and let them know in no uncertain terms that they've got a fight on their hands if they're going to try to put that bill in Congress.
Well, and what is this going to mean? Now, we have a bunch of 501c3. I call them the Pharisees in the pulpits in the churches of America today. They're 501c3. They can't do anything political. There are guidelines. It's nice to know that we have Fed Snoop and Poop people sitting in the pews in our churches to make sure that the pastors follow the guidelines under their 501c3s. But say this hate crime law passes and we have a preacher down in Cincinnatus, Ohio, for example, that wants to say something biblical about homosexuality, what could possibly happen to him under this bill?
Well, under this bill right now, you see, this is called the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Act or Enhancement Act. The terminology differs between the sessions. But basically, it's a massive takeover of states' rights in law enforcement. It, number one, gives the federal government the right to come down anytime it wants to and intervene in states' rights against particularly violent hate crimes. Now, this ostensibly is a bill to stop hate crime, violent hate crimes out in the states, but that's just, you know, the camel getting his nose inside the tent. The truth of the matter is that it establishes a bias-oriented justice system like they have in Canada, in which you have not only our traditional English law, but you have a separate kind of tribunal system in which bias motivation becomes the deciding criteria of whether a hate crime has occurred or not. Now, you're asking about the pastor who wants to speak out of Romans or Leviticus, for example, against homosexuality. This legislation, once it's in place, you see, it will unite the local law enforcement, the federal law enforcement, into one police state, and then it will also allow federal judges and judges all the way down to the local level to begin to make law, that is, adjudicate from the bench according to the basic principles, the basic legal philosophy, which is brand new to America, coming out of this hate crimes bureaucracy. That means that they will have a kind of a holistic approach to the problem of beleaguered minorities, federally protected groups, suffering so-called hate crimes. They will say, well, we're going to do more than the federal government, just protect these minorities from violent hate crimes. We're going to protect them from violent language, that verbal intimidation that bruises their sensitive egos and self-image and so on. So very rapidly, this has happened in all these countries where the ADL has gotten in, very rapidly, out in the provinces or down in the states or wherever, the judges in the provinces and the states expand the basic new philosophy of the hate crimes agenda to basically end free speech. So the this is the way the ADR works. It goes to the legislators to begin with and says, we've got a big problem with violent hate crime out in the provinces. They're not doing the job out there. We need a big, all-encompassing federal hate bill. Number two, after that's been voted in by the gullible legislators, is out in the provinces, each province creates its own hate crimes flavor and variation on this new federal philosophy coming from Ottawa or London or Melbourne or wherever. And the end is that free speech very soon is the casualty. You have a thought crimes, a speech crimes bureaucracy, which is very, very punishing to that pastor in the pulpit, because, as you say, there can be spies in his congregation, as happened to Akie Green in Sweden. A homosexual in his congregation heard him quoting from the Book of Romans, and he was indicted under Sweden's ADL hate law and went through years of torment, basically fearing a long-term in prison. So this is legislation which has a proven record in all the countries where ADL has introduced it of taking away free speech. And we are fools if we believe that ADL doesn't have any other agenda than that in the United States of America.
And if you think this is just about homosexuality, folks, it's not. When we get back from the break, I'm going to read you a short list here of what has transpired in Canada, Australia, Britain, Sweden, Holland, and also Germany, well, where these hate crime laws have been enacted. And you think it's just about going after, oh, the poor homosexuals out there? Stay tuned. You're not going to believe this. We'll be right back. Give me an example of what these wonderful hate laws, which let me preface this by saying that the Bill of Rights that we have in this country, we have the right of religious freedom, both an establishment as well as free exercise thereof, freedom of speech, freedom of press, right of petition. And talk radio, ladies and gentlemen, is guaranteed under the First Amendment of the Constitution, because that is free speech. Now, in Canada, I'm just going to give you a quick list here. I'll go through it quickly. In Canada, a Christian was fined $6,000 for printing 3 Bible verses against homosexuality. A newspaper was fined $6,000 for accepting his ad. A Christian printer was fined $5,000 for refusing to print stationery for homosexual activists. He was bankrupted after spending $175,000 in fees contesting the charge. A Christian was faced with a fine of $35,000 for distributing hate literature, tracts critical of homosexuality. Church school administrators were forced to hire a known homosexual under threat of prison. A pastor was told it's a hate crime to hand out gospel tracts punishable by prison. In Australia, 2 Christians were indicted for criticizing Islam, another for criticizing Zionism. Gee, do you think that puts me in that category? In Britain, 2 political activists were indicted, facing 7 years in prison, for describing Islam as a wicked faith. A filmmaker was threatened with arrest for using the term homosexuality, or homosexual, rather than gay. In Sweden, a pastor faces prison for reading from the pulpit scriptures critical of homosexuality. It is now a hate crime in Holland to criticize fornicators and adulterers. In Germany, a Catholic priest faces jail time for the hate crime of publicly criticizing abortionists. Oh, so you see, it's just not, oh, the homosexual. Oh, it's just not the Zionist. It is anybody that is out there saying that, look, we've got a moral compass, we got ethics, we should be able to speak about this. This is what this country used to be based on. But if the federal hate crime law passes, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? Under threat of imprisonment, you've got to keep your mouth shut. Reverend, this is bad stuff.
Yes, John, I'm describing this legislation as the most dangerous bill ever to come before the American Congress. And I'm including the Federal Reserve Act in that and in some other pretty hair-raising legislation. But you see, this strikes at our most precious and most vital liberty, which is that of free speech. And I've described free speech as analogous to the heart of a body. The heart stops beating, the rest of the body goes limp and cannot respond. And if we lose our free speech, our power to protest, our power to act, our power to revolt, all of those privileges go down the drain.
Well, and just to give you folks an idea out there of how bad the hate situation here is in this country. And I'll tell the story again, and I've told the story several times, and I'll repeat it because it actually happened, and I was an eyewitness. I was giving a speech down in, I do believe it was Kenny Ruff's Texas here, with Congressman Ron Paul. I was on the same platform as him giving a speech. And my thing was I didn't like the fact that homosexuality is being taught in public schools as being some sort of normal and healthy escapism from what you and I would consider to be perfunctory things that we do as human beings for procreation. And I had somebody in the audience that didn't like that, that interrupted my speech. She was an emotional ball of just absolute fritterdom, and she burst into tears, and she kept interrupting, and I said, we're having questions at the end of this. If you allow me to finish, I'll field any question. Well, she was intent on disrupting this. Make a long story short, one of the attendees, I won't mention him by name, tried to quiet her down as if I needed a nanny to do this. But after the speech was given, I was outside. I had an opportunity to talk to this young lady. And she had been told that, well, this kind of talk, it will bring violence against somebody like me. And I looked at her and I said, excuse me? I said, nobody is going to do violence against you. And she said, well... And I said, look, if somebody approached you and threatened you with violence here and now, I would intercede. And she was shocked. She said, you would do that? I said, absolutely. Because I have an opinion about something, that this is going to lead to a fist fight or you being laid up in a hospital because I don't like what you're saying. I said, this is America. Get over it. Well, she walked away entirely with a different impression of who these people were that were speaking against homosexuality. And I explained to this audience that my big thing about this, look, folks, homosexuality and lesbianism, it's not new. It's been around since mankind has been around, okay? What is going on here is they want protected speech. They want to be able to promote this as being normal and healthy when we know that it is not. And I don't care what people do in the bedrooms of their own homes, consenting adults, you name it, if that's what they want to do, I'm not there to judge them in their actions. Only God's going to be able to do that. But, folks, think about what this is going to mean. And as we've stated here, this is just not about homosexuality. This could be possibly used for criticism against your own government, that you may be aiding and abetting terrorists out there. So Homeland Security might be tipped off that, well, you're saying things that are favorable to a country we may be at war with right now. You think about the ramifications of this, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take your calls. We'll open up the phone lines at 800-313-9443. We'll be right back. Well, is there an epidemic of hate in this country? The FBI, the 2005 Uniform Crime Report, shows alleged hate crimes comprise a minuscule 1/15 of 1% of all crime in America. Now, this is hardly a crisis requiring a vast federal fought crimes bureaucracy with unlimited power to invade state law enforcement. Also, at least 95% of the so-called hate crimes reported to the FBI have never been tried in court. Most are nothing but police opinions about verbal intimidation, name-calling, and petty assault and vandalism. But with Americans behind them, Republicans in Congress repeatedly, as the Reverend said, defeated the federal hate crime bill in the past 8 years, yet Democrats who always vote for the hate bill now control the Congress. Their numbers are strong enough, that means the bill will pass unless there is an upheaval of protests. If enough concerned Americans call Congress, ADL may lose nerve and wait another year. We got to stick a stake in this vampire's heart.
Amen, brother. Yes, but we've done it before. We've found that, especially through alternative talk radio, there are lots of people out there who are just dying to work and do much more than has been expected of the American public in years past. You know, I've always heard, well, your duty is pretty much fulfilled when you call your congressman and your two senators. But there are people who do that, and they say, what more can I do? And so at truthtellers.org, which is our website of the National Prayer Network, we have a couple of bold new plans. We've described one a few weeks ago when I was on this program, but we have a new one in which we're calling people to send a brochure. In fact, you were just reading from that brochure, John, powerful brochure describing the tragedy, the travesty of hate crimes, bureaucracies in other countries. We're going to have people just print that out off of the homepage at Truth Tellers, address it, and send it off to the members of their congressional delegation from their district. That means your congressmen and your senators, but more importantly, to their congressional aides. You see, every member of Congress has a staff of congressional aides or assistants. These so-called staffers are often legal experts, legislative experts. And what we're going to do is we're just completely saturating now these legislative aides, which are posted also at Truth Tellers. We have an average of about 8 or 10 of the most qualified legislative aides to receive this brochure. We want people to come to Truth Tellers and get those brochures off. It'll be about 30 brochures for the whole congressional delegation. But this is a powerful, powerful flyer that John has been reading from. It'll get in where no one else has been able to, into the thoughts conjectures and doubts and fears of these legislative aides. And it'll give them new information that they have never, never received before. You see, the Congress is the beltway bubble means that the Congress is very insulated, not only from the American people, but really from what has happened under hate crimes bureaucracies in other countries. They have only heard what the ADL has to say. They have this very naive idea that this is only a bill to stop violent hate crimes out in the states. And what this brochure does when you send it in there, after coming to Truth Tellers, it will open their eyes that this Orwellian legislation is much, much more dangerous than they had ever dreamed before. And I'm hoping we can have a tremendous awakening in the halls and the back rooms of the Senate and office building in the years ahead as these brochures work to bring light in a very darkened place on this planet.
Well, I can already see some of the argument coming here that if we want to talk about such issues as abortion, we want to criticize the government, Homeland Security, the robbing of our God-given rights that happen to be written down in our Constitution as the first 10 amendments, guaranteed rights in writing, affirming that we have God-given rights, and the government's primary function is to make sure that those rights aren't violated, whereas the government is the one that is violating all this stuff. This is absolutely insane, Ted, because basically you ought to put this on your website. Truth is hate for those who hate the truth.
Yes.
And you know, it's just not about homosexuality. I've made my views known on homosexuality, how it erodes the social fabric of a country. You want a historical fact on this? They don't like to talk about Caligula in Rome too much, where the guy, I think he even had his horse that he wanted to get in as a senator in his Senate, but the guy was a pervert. I mean, he was twisted. But, you know, we've got Caligula happening here in America, and you can't speak about the degradation of a society going down the tubes because that's hateful. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. It's just not about the issue of homosexuality. It's about the criticism of groups of people that are seeking to do damage to this country by a federal law that's going to be prohibited. And hang on to your hats. You may be fined. You may be thrown in jail. They may eat out your substance. As I said, this one individual spent $175,000 fighting these crazy hate crime laws, and then bankrupted him. Can't speak about abortion. Can't speak about anything. You want to criticize your government for the war in Iraq? Let me express something here right now, folks. The Zionist influence in Washington, D.C. right now are the very same people that are trying to get these hate crimes passed. Does this connect the dot for you? This is just about homosexuality. I just read to you that they're going after people in Australia, in Germany, for hate crime laws because they're going against a political movement. That's right. Zionism is a political movement. So you can't say anything about Zionism because we're going to lock you up. AIPAC in Washington, D.C., all these various political action committees that have the Congress critters eating out of their hands, this has got to come to a grinding halt right now, right this minute. Let's go to the phones. Chris in Alaska. Thanks for holding, Chris.
Hi. I'm calling because I thought it was worthy to remind listeners that all this type of federal legislation only legitimately applies to federal citizens. And I say this because it seems like we lose some important foundation when we always blur the lines and take all this federal legislation as if it applies to everybody.
Well, but here's the problem with that, Chris. You can say it doesn't apply to you, but who are you going to convince of that? Are you going to convince the person that's trying to bring you up on these charges? Are you going to try to convince a judge that you're in court? They've got a federal statute. He's bound by federal law to follow this. Remember, what the judges say, we don't make the law. We just have to make sure that the law is enforced and we administer justice. Who exactly are you going to say that, wait a minute, this doesn't apply to me? When they have all the power of the courts, they have federal legislation behind them, they have the judges there, they have everything, and you're standing there by yourself in front of one of these courts. And you can tell them all day long, well, this doesn't apply to me. Do you think they're going to listen to you?
Well, there's practical issues like that, but I was mainly just calling to remind listeners of this because people that are just turning on to this kind of information, they get confused when, you know, that it should always be made clear that this stuff is for federal citizens and the federal government has basically any right to do whatever it wants to with its citizens.
And Chris, you're essentially correct, and what you're talking about is the is the corporation that sets itself up and it makes its laws and its statutes and it does its policies and everything else. And you're exactly right. It should not apply to anybody, federal citizen or not, but what the corporation has done, my friend, is they've made you that artificial corporate entity, haven't they? So
yeah,
they claim they have that jurisdiction over you, but the problem is, as I said, when you get into a court of law, they're not there to hear your constitutional arguments. They're not there to hear anything out of you except how you plead to the charge before the court.
I agree. I just think it's important for people to be aware of that distinction, and personally, I'm not playing their game anymore.
I understand, and a lot of us better change our mindset rather than trying to skedaddle and play safe and dodge this issue or that one and try to skate out of this life fairly unscathed. It ain't happening.
Thanks for all the great work you do down there.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you listening up there in Alaska. Any comment on that, Ted?
Yes, we have to be very practical. I'm familiar with some of these legal theory exceptions and so on. People think that they have kind of a survivalist mentality that they can kind of dodge and hide and be exempt from these laws. But this is kind of like Mount St. Helens. When this erupts, it'll blanket the whole land with a darkness of freedom-stealing legislation, which will percolate down into all of the churches and all of the organizations and everybody's lives and make us all afraid of the hate crimes of police. I was mentioning last night, I think, on Rick Adams' program that I have a friend up in Toronto, and I asked him, I said, what would happen to you, Sheldon, if you went out on the street corner and began to tell people that the Jews or the Jewish leaders had Christ killed 2,000 years ago? And he said, Ted, I'd be playing with fire. I'd be playing with fire, he said, if I did that. The police could come and I could be arrested and indicted for anti-Semitism, a hate crime now in Canada. And you see, this kind of legislation, there's no hiding place. And what we have to do is not say, well, you know, and I also hear this other idea that, well, let's just let the hate bill pass. It'll be the stimulus for national rebellion, grassroots rebellion. We'll all march on Washington and we'll throw out the rascals out and all that kind of rhetoric. The truth is that this kind of legislation is very, very crippling on the whole idea of citizens' action and taking initiative, because there are stiff, tremendously stiff penalties in all of these hate crimes bureaucracies against any violations of the hate laws. And in Canada, you see, the ADL got their hate bill into Canada in 1971. Did it cause a grassroots rebellion? Did it cause the people to throw off this tyranny? Canada's a Christian nation. Canada's a noble, freedom-loving nation, but once you have these laws which cause you to look over your shoulder in case the hate crimes police are listening and walk around on eggshells around delicate taboo subjects, that gets to the people, and the people have a tendency to withdraw. And once the pulpit cannot speak out, once the free speech talk radio cannot speak out, the effect is the people get dumbed down, they get numb, they get apathetic, they content themselves with sensual pleasures, physical temporal pleasures. They lose the memory of their glorious liberties and so on. And today, the church in Canada is extremely apathetic. And there are people like Paul Fromm up there and Doug Christie out in B.C. who are champions of free speech, but they are an infinitesimal minority. Canada's way, way downriver now as far as going into basically a welfare police hate crimes bureaucracy.
Well, and Ted, the thought just struck me. This is basically telling the preachers, okay, well, which part of God's Ten Commandments can I talk about?
Yes.
What's up next? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, because that's insensitive, and you may hurt somebody's feeling by saying something about this. Or I know this will never happen. They're not dumb enough to come out and say, you know, it's hateful to say thou shalt not steal. But which one of the Ten Commandments, if you're a purveyor of God's word out there, preachers, which ones are you not going to be allowed to preach about?
That's right. And you see, these hate laws come as a kind of a legislative finality to thoughts and opinions and attitudes which have been conditioned into us many years before by the media, by society, by higher education, and so on. For example, very few Christians today would even be interested in picketing a homosexual bathhouse or protesting homosexual behaviors, deviant behaviors in specific terms. They wouldn't do that anyway. They've got a law written in their own apathetic consciences that they're not going to trouble themselves with the controversy of that. And obviously the Christians are not going to criticize Israel, they're not going to criticize matters Jewish, the Talmud, Kabbalah, anything like that, because they've been conditioned to believe that that's anti-Semitic, that's basically a theological hate crime against God's chosen people. And so these attitudes that there are already taboo subjects and privileged groups in our society are already in place. And so in the fullness of the time, the ADL comes along and says, well, since everybody responds this way anyway, why don't we make it a federal law? Why don't we make it a state law and actually put some teeth and penalties into it? And the people yawn and say, hey, well, that sounds pretty good. You know, the Bible's in favor of love and the Bible's against hate, too. Why not make a law against hate?
It's a slippery slope, is it not? And it's just not directed. This is, as I said before, Ted, if you want to criticize Zionism, which is a political movement, you're classified as being a hater. You're classified as being anti-Semitic. Does it make me anti-Catholic if I go after a priest in a diocese that has been discovered molesting little boys? Does it make me anti-Catholic for going after that priest on an issue such as that?
Yeah, you know, yesterday I was on with Thor Tolo out in Seattle. It's a huge Salem religious station out there. And I was pointing out that Rabbi Daniel Lappin, who's there at Mercer Island in Seattle, he has a complete license to excoriate the ADL. He's very critical of what he calls secular Judaism. He announced on Trinity Broadcasting last year, and I heard the broadcast, that secular Judaism, meaning ADL B'nai B'rith, is quote, in relentless attack on evangelical Christianity. And nobody's calling him anti-Semitic for that. That's, you know, he's an Orthodox rabbi, he's one of the God's chosen people, he can say anything he wants to. But Thor Tolo was kind of upbraiding me and saying, aren't you anti-Semitic for saying there's a conspiracy, repeating this idea that there's a Jewish conspiracy against Christianity and so on? Isn't that, that sounds pretty risky, that sounds pretty anti-Semitic, you know, to me. He said the last time I was on his program a year or so ago, I just created a firestorm of controversy by getting on this big, you know, I don't know, they must have 100,000 listeners, but here I came on again. He's very concerned about the hate bill, and I'm very glad he is concerned. But you see, there's a double standard here, and one of the characteristics of the hate crimes bureaucracies is this double standard. They write into law in their constitutions that all religious groups are protected, except that since this legislation is quintessentially Jewish, it's coming from ADL, which comes from B'nai B'rith International, a huge Jewish religious, educational, and fraternal organization, because it's basically the voice of Jewish activism's attempt to hold back Christianity and even persecute Christianity. The record is, the hard facts, the dockets of the legal cases show that it's primarily Christians, primarily Holocaust reductionists, who bear the brunt of this legislation.
All right, we've got to take the break. When we get back on the other side, we'll take your phone calls right away. 800-313-9443. Well, I guess if this hate crime bill passes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be one of the first ones they're going to try to lock in jail. Gee, I wonder how I'm going to respond to that one. For the people that are with us this hour that may not be with us into the next hour, Ted Pike, what are they to do right now? What's the most important thing that people should be doing right now?
Come to www.truthtellers.org. There you'll find our flyer that John was reading out. Take that flyer, print it out, make about 30 copies, front and back, and get the list of the congressional aides is right there on the homepage at Truth Tellers. Find the members of Congress for your district, that's a congressman or the two senate and the two senators. Address out the about approximately 30 congressional aides for those three members of your delegation. Send those off in the mail immediately. Those will penetrate into the very core of the legislative process in Congress. It'll bring massive new truth and light there, because you're a constituent of their district. When they see that zip code on there, they're going to open that brochure, they're going to read it, because they know you have the power to vote not only their boss out next time around, but they'll be out of a job too. So this is an unprecedented opportunity to inundate Congress with truth and light, rebuking all of the lies of the ADL.
And, folks, you can call your Congress. Don't bother doing it today. The critters are still partying up there, the 110th Congress taking over. But try calling them Monday. There's a couple of toll-free numbers here that I'll give out, 877-851-6437 or 866-340-9281. Or if you just want to make that toll call, the area code for Washington, D.C. is 202. The number is 225-3121. And just be short and sweet. Just tell them, hey, don't vote for any hate crime bill. Hate laws have taken away free speech in Canada and much of Europe. And you might want to remind your Congress critter that the Constitution is the Constitution. If they want to be bold enough to come out and try to revamp that Constitution, have a constitutional convention or constitutional amendments, let them do it.
Yes.
But don't do these backdoor tactic and call them these little terms that they come up with, like the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act.
Yes.
Like you're going to prevent a crime. If crime prevention was possible, I don't think we'd have to have any locks on our doors at home, or we would need any car keys or anything. Well, we could all just leave everything wide open.
That's right. You know, at Truth Tellers, we also have a list of all the members of the new Congress, and we do have a program there for the real go-getters of calling for 15 minutes a day for the next 7 weeks. You can use those toll-free numbers, use the redial button on your phone, and call in there and read that simple statement that the Truth Tellers, please don't vote for anti-hate laws. They've taken away free speech in Canada and European countries. And before, if people will call before they go to work in the morning or during their lunch hour, and just keep up a consistent program for about seven weeks, you can contact every member of the 110th Congress and let them know in no uncertain terms that you will not stand for losing our free speech through this legislation.
Well, we do have some inroads into C-SPAN. I think this is going to be something, Ted. I'm wondering here if Brian Lamb maybe would not want to have you on his American Journal some morning to talk about this impending bill. And I'm sure when the bill comes out, It's going to be assigned a number. You're going to have your email alert list, and this will go out far and wide. If they bring up the bill that gets out of whatever committee they're trying to introduce it, we'll have a bill number, and then we can tag that bill number to our complaints here about their fourth attempt, apparently, to pass this hate crime legislation in this country. And by the way, did you hear about it the first or second or third time on mainstream media? I doubt it very much. See, they were too busy being politically correct before. Now it's going to be mandated by law. Second hour coming up with your phone calls right after this.